Welcome to Live and Learn Podcast Season 4. In our four seasons, we hold cozy discussions on how we live and learn, accompany and encourage our community of growth mindsetters, how we respond to challenges of novel times with the help of soft skills, 21st century skills, both on a personal and a professional scale. We share our individual as well as science-based experience in a warm and supportive environment. What can four seasons of Live and Learn podcast mean to you? Whether you're jogging, commuting, or spending your leisure time, let a podcast be to your taste and music to your ears. Find yours, here is ours. Hello, happy week, happy day, happy life.
Yeah, I love your greeting. Thank you. Same to you, by the way.
And so what have you learned this week?
For 2 days now, I'm enjoying my new life hack about learning language. And it is so obvious and so easy to incorporate into daily routine. And yet, I have spent a couple of months thinking about what should I do and how can I get over my resentment, I would even say, the resentment of the applications for learning German. So basically, I have had in my telephone around 20-25 applications that I've been using for German grammar, German vocabulary, German conversation, and so on. And I feel like I'm a little bit getting over them due to several facts that vocabulary is endless and I'm getting bored with not recognizing the words that I've been shown for a couple of times. The grammar is killing me. And the more I'm doing the applications on grammar, the more I'm trying to, you know, to remember the sentences rather than the rules. I don't know, it just evades me. Though I really have, for those that I could recommend, and I don't know, I love some of them over others, and I think that I've downloaded maybe 40, 50, maybe even more, 60 applications and just erased them after, once they are overcrowded with advertisement or they are just not user-friendly, or they're just, you know, beeping anytime that they want my reaction and I don't want them to do that over me. I do love a couple of them. I'm not going to advertise them online.
If you're not paid to do so, please don't. And then we could immediately give one piece of advice that I think works for everyone, if we put it this way. Just choose the one that you feel comfortable with. Just use the app that you like when you say user-friendly or not user-friendly.
To me.
Yeah, to you, to me, to anyone else who is a user of this particular app. And so just the first piece of advice would be choose the one, no ads, choose the one, pick the one that you feel comfortable with to start, and then that you feel you are ready to continue with, choose the one that calls you to continue using it and to practice your language, right?
True. And because we all have very different learning styles and learning pace, I do believe that the applications are good support for learning. So it's like it cannot substitute the proper learning of the language, but it is a super great addition. If I had such an opportunity when I was learning English in my school, I didn't know, I would be just, you know, eating them all. I really love those that are checking pronunciation and fluency. So now we have technology good enough that you can follow the dialogue and you can read your own lines as the answer to the ones that you have heard. And the AI would check your speed, your fluency, and your correct ones. So it still cannot read my R's and L's because I do not pronounce them correctly in German, but that's something that I do not pronounce correctly either in Russian or in Ukrainian in my native languages.
So anyway, what this app that you're talking about does is it corrects and gives you some feedback on how you pronounce words and how fluent you are in sentences. What does it do exactly?
For example, you're having the situation with a dialogue, so you're learning it, you're learning both parts, you're training the phrases, you're training articles, I don't know, the formulations, and then you go to check mode, and then you're checking out the phrases, so you decide which role you want to check out, and the app records your voice and compares with the one that they have recorded, and then it shows which endings or prepositions or the vowels or consonants were not correctly pronounced. And so basically I can say the whole phrase correct, but the article wouldn't be there or wouldn't be the correct one. So it would just highlight with a red one that, well, you had a misfit here.
It does give you feedback in this form of highlighting what was missing or improper. Nice.
Yeah, and I really love them. But again, I need to pronounce this specific phrase. The one that actually I've been using is that it creates a new screen with the recording so that I cannot see the phrase itself. So that gives the time to my memory what was there again, and then it slowly actually gets to the memory. So what was the specific phrase? Because others just have the phrase written in the same time when you're recording. Basically, it doesn't get into the long time memory. Learning is not happening as efficiently as it could have. Okay, so I started with the life hack that I'm using. So I have 10-15 favorite apps for learning German on my mobile. And then in the evening when we are trying to switch off from everyday routines, so we're just having maybe half an hour, 40 minutes for German. And then you have this, you know, overload. I've been working all day long. I was through the application for so long and so on. I just don't want to learn. I want to rest. Even if we have the games, I want just to do a simple quiz or something. And because I have my favorite quiz as a downtime activity, so it is like a very long scenario based with the characters, with gamification, with points, with everything. And I'm doing this in English, but you can do this in a number of languages, I guess. And then it struck me that I can do that in German.
Your time has come.
So it was a transition for me that I can try and download fun games in German rather than learning apps in German. It is such an obvious and such an easy thing that we've been, I don't know, given this advice for so many times to our students, but I didn't think of it in German. When we're doing this in English, that's obvious to me. But here I had this like, oh, seriously, if I have this overlearning syndrome and I want just to have some easy downtime, I can do this in German anyway. And just because I listened to our episode with Gleb Kondrashevsky on learning in Germany and it was just so fresh in my memory, and I had the puzzle, you know, going together, everything is in right place. So I went to the Play Store and just started downloading 5, 6, 7 quizzes, you know, trivia games in German, or those that can be changed to the settings to the German. And I thought to myself, okay, I might not be getting all the prizes because I just do not understand all the words. But the more you are doing these questions, the more you remember the words, how is it called, or what is the highest, blah, 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 or something like that. And the questions and the answers, so they provide the topical or non-topical vocabulary. So I can recognize some, or I can learn some, or I can think, oh, seriously, basically, they are not only doing the quiz, but they are teaching the vocab, the phrases, and so on. But what I really loved about them, and which I don't know, I didn't know existed in applications, is that some of them give you a question, give you four answers, so you choose the answer, and then they give you a one or two paragraph description, either from Wikipedia or from the authors, according to why this is correct or not. So just like a nice to know. And there, you don't have the timer, so you can go and read about this particular thing that you got right or you didn't get right, so you can learn the phrases about this particular topic. And here, of course, you have your super small blurb of the information relevant to your experience that you have the interest already. And voila. And by the way, the last one that I was using yesterday has the commentaries of the people. So I can as well read the other people's comments on this topic. So you get this topic-related, interest-biased. Here is all the learning you need. And you're not thinking of it as a learning. But I had a triumph yesterday or 2 days ago that you can have your own profile with your own, I don't know, character, with the intelligence level that they are calculating, which is funny because like it's like leveling up. So I'm just like going three levels up because I just know something. And then here comes the situation which I have no idea about at all. I didn't know it existed. So I'm going three levels down and on and on and on and on and on. It was a nice thing to discover.
So another piece of advice to our listeners would be, don't do like Yulia, don't ignore our previous episodes. And then do like Yulia, listen to our previous episodes and follow our advice.
And try to transfer this. This is a transferable skills to apply this to a new context. And what is for me natural to recommend or to use or to do in French or in Italian when I was practicing this, suddenly I decided I can do this in German as well.
Isn't it because German seems to be so different for you from other languages that you've practiced that you never think it could apply? The same routines could apply to this language being so different.
I cannot explain it because whenever I'm in Italy or in Spain or in France, I'm just grasping everything that you have around the menu, the supermarket, I didn't know, somebody said something in the street, and I'm just like a fish grasping the air. I'm trying to incorporate this culture. I don't know why it's not happening with the German culture, because I do not feel, I don't know if we are staying here in Germany for long. I don't know if we are moving somewhere in some time. Because we were not immigrating here to stay here, maybe I do not have this necessity to get incorporated into the culture, into the country. I'm not interested in the news so much as I would have been.
I think, moreover, mind you, you don't live in Germany. I'm sorry to say that. You live in Berlin, which is a hugely intercultural city, where you don't have easy access to German culture as German language culture. You hear so many other languages around, and you have access to so many different cultures that it's very different from going to Spain or to Italy and getting to know the local culture and grasping, as you said, everything that is around. Because in Berlin, you kind of get into the intercultural world and not into German world.
Plus, we have the lockdown, and I haven't seen any other person for 10 months now. And everybody who we are cooperating with are either English speakers. All my work that I do for universities, I teach English or professional English, or I teach in English, like the rhetorics or HR consulting or business consulting or, I don't know, moderation presentation or anything like this. This is all in English. And what else? Whoever I'm speaking to, the expats, we're speaking in English. So we're not actually a part of the Ukrainian or Russian-speaking community from day one. So it's like 90% of my time for the last 2.5 years is in English, and maybe 10-15 is in Russian with like at home or with the friends from back from home.
Yeah, sure. That's why it's important to be aware of for anyone who struggles getting some input in the language. Analyze where you live. Analyze what kind of input you actually have during the day, during the week. And exactly what you're saying allows us to see, yeah, you really lack language input in German. Therefore, there is the need to get it from somewhere pleasant, as games or apps or quizzes, and connected to your sphere of interest. Because anyway, you don't do this in your working hours, as your working hours are mostly in English. But in your free time, not being exposed to the German language, then you find the way to get your German language input, which is fantastic. And the way that you found actually doing quizzes, yeah, that's part of your hobby, interests, inclinations. That's what you use to spend your free time with, and at the same time, learn the language. Just amazing.
All in all, I'm super, super happy with the situation of how the whole industry of doing the everyday drilling part of teaching is getting taken over by the AI, by the applications, by the sites, by the podcast, by everything. I read today in one of the forums that somebody says, well, I'm more a coach than a teacher of English, but my new coachee says that he feels not really confident and a bit awkward about his grammar. Maybe I could suggest something. And she says, well, I feel uncomfortable saying that, well, this is a completely different job, but I still wanted to share something with him. And she posed such a question in one of the language teaching forums. The huge answer was there, like all of the other teachers says, why don't you recommend an app, a self-paced learning app, which would be a nice thing to recommend, even if you are a coach, not a teacher. You're still given some kind of advice, some kind of guidance. And still, this is a safe-paced thing where a person can choose his own time, his own workload, how much does he want to drill, I don't know, present perfect continuous or conditionals or something like that. And they gave a number of the applications on the top of each one's heads. And I did the same. So I recommended the one that I know and I still use with some of the students. So I just try to get the placement test and then try to understand which zones or which points might need more attention. I assign them, and this is a fantastic application. Actually, this is one of the Berlin-based apps that are being under development. They are called LingoSet, and I was invited to give a couple of advice about how it works, and I find it very, very interesting. But what's the point is that we don't need to do something that we used to be doing so much time, like exercise 3 point. Sentence 3. So what was the answer? The answer was A, or the answer was B. Right, correct. Number 4. So all of this is gone, and I'm super happy about it, because optimizing the time And learning approaches and learning wishes is something very, very important. And we can get much more focused on discussing what was right or wrong, or why it was right, or why it was wrong, or what was the case here or here. So that would be a much more focused corrective part rather than checking up tons of the exercise.
At the same time, more often than not, students just ignore correct or incorrect answers and don't really get the feedback that would be useful if they paid attention. That's why also when students ask if an app could be used and could be relevant to their learning experience, I just recommend, I don't even get deeply into details and just say, choose whatever app you find appealing and you feel comfortable with. And be sure that when or if you have doubts, questions, you don't really get why this answer is right or wrong, get back to me and we'll discuss that. And I still do assign exercises like gap filling to check in which context, which kind of even verb form is correct and why. And I like analyzing this during the lesson, finding that really people don't pay so much focused attention to what has been the right answer or the wrong one. As well, there is still this trouble with apps that they're not always very well checked, and sometimes what can be right is marked as wrong and vice versa, and then students might get confused. That's why, again, do use apps, do get your drilling practice, then get back to a teacher and ask your questions. Be responsible for what you're doing, because this is what is more important. I don't really care when I do some kind of exercise. I don't really care if my answer is right or wrong. I might be super happy when I get this praise 100% right, but then it doesn't teach me so much. I would prefer to have something wrong and to understand why this answer is wrong. And I would prefer to come to a teacher and ask, listen, why is this wrong? Are you sure you can't use it in some context, maybe? And very often we find out that, yes, in another context, or even in the same situation mentioned in an example in the app, this can be used in a different way as well. So then a human teacher is also of use, commenting, giving example from real life experience and situation. So both come to work together, and then it's super efficient in the end.
After this, what comes to my mind is that when I'm doing my own study, right? As you know, I always refer to my own experience rather than somebody else's. I sometimes get super bored with the repeating questions, with the ones that keep on repeating without, like, okay, I got this. Thank you. No more. I don't need that the eighth time. And what I like about this specific app is that it calculates, I don't know, 1 to 3 times that you got it right, and then it doesn't appear to you any longer. But if you keep on making a mistake in the same type, not in the same sentence. Here, what is interesting is that they created the algorithm by which it gets the people more practice where they seem to fail, like seem to make a mistake, and then they get 2 more. So every time you make something incorrect, you have 2 more in the same topic. One more thing is what I can't get. I understand it from the writing and application point of view, but I cannot understand it from teaching point of view. Why do we have the applications that teach grammar and they teach vocab? And very, very few of them do both. So it's like you really need to go to either listening or grammar or specific topic or something very, very specific, and then you feel encaged. I don't know, I feel so much into something that instead of giving the freedom to use something, it somehow gives me the sense of lack of the ways to express myself. And this is where I think the teachers will still be of not only use, but also the importance of doing something. So for example, it's always nice to say, hey, and by the way, like yesterday, I assigned my students, we had the topic of the startups for business English, upper intermediate advanced, something like this. So we were doing some collaboration, some reading, so they had to do the podcast pick on the startups which failed and which succeeded, and to write a summary why they chose this specific episode, that they are not random, but they had an argumentation behind why they chose it. And then I say, okay, now you have to practice as a home task at your own pace, at your own ownership and responsibility. Here you have 4 Quizlet on the topic of the startups. I just got to search through the Quizlet, got 4 of those that I found okay, got them together into one folder and shared this folder with my students. Some of them used Quizlet, some of them didn't, but what is super interesting there is a mode to learn, just like the cards, and you just go through them. If you know, you just go, okay, next, next, next. If you don't, you can turn on to turn back and so on. And then there is the test mode and play mode. And when I showed this to the students who are the, you know, university students, they said, oh, you can do that with the same deck of cards. Play, test, and learn. Well, yeah, that is the point. And you can do this, like, you can challenge yourselves. You can play instead of like, okay, I need to learn vocab. 50, 60 vocabulary units for tomorrow. Just go and play, come on. That's a nice thing. For example, we did the same with the children education, like the education management students. They had their own topics and they put them just education, education management, classroom management, and something else. And I said, so this is the Quizlet for the next time. The next time I started with the test from this, which I created sharing my screen. So I said, okay, so you had to go over this vocabulary deck. I'm just opening while sharing the screen, put in a test, put in, okay, so 15, 10, 3 matches, 2 translate, 2 something like this, create, share. My students were just shocked, like, you have just created the test. Yeah. Out of what we had to learn, yeah.
What you mentioned really illustrates gamification as one of the important features of apps, and that's why people want to learn like that. They don't want to struggle through language learning. They want to enjoy language learning. And gamification helps here. On the other hand, also, if it's only play and no stress for your brain, it does not work as efficiently as it could. Being combined, these things are much more efficient and helpful. So our brain wants easy things, and it enjoys when we get easy access to pleasure. At the same time, for learning, new neuron connections, links should be created, and that's hard work. But then you should get praise. And if we succeed in applying all of these, then we get really good language education.
Yeah, this is specifically why it is super important to still keep the levels. And this is what returns us back to the measuring the level of a skill. And if this is vocabulary or, you know, IOTS test has the speaking the same questions for all the levels. So they don't know who's going to sit next. and they still have the same speaking task, or everybody has the same writing task. Like, what has changed in your city over the last 10 years? 40 minutes, write an essay. What you produce will be measured as the level. When we're studying, it is much more level-oriented to the, specifically to what you said about being challenging enough. It is difficult to study something that is more challenging than necessary, and it is boring to study something that is not challenging enough. And whenever you're choosing the podcast, whenever you're choosing a book, whenever you're choosing an application, whenever you're choosing a course, try to have a kind of a placement test before where you are, how much do you know, and then try to set up a difficulty like 15% higher than what you have. Yeah, so this is how you can make your own boss manageable. Like, to do 85% is a good thing, right? Even if you fail 15, that means that this is the learning zone. But if you learn that only, those 15, it doesn't become enough to proceed. That's why every next class, every next course, or every next chapter, yeah, should have this increasing speed. So, for example, I normally advise to the students when they go to the beach or to abroad or to find the podcast or a book or something, just open any page, take a look on one page of the text or one paragraph of the text, read it by yourself and try to see how many words there are. Okay, so like 80, 100, 200, how many of them are challenging to you? If you find that they're like 10, 15%, go. This is your level. That means that 85% you do understand. You will understand the context. You will understand the meaning. It won't impede your reading, but you still will learn from this. If you don't understand 50% of what is written, it's not your level yet. You will be struggling. You will be blaming yourself. You will be thinking that you are spending your time uselessly, yeah? And it won't help anyway. I keep on telling that one of the best books I've ever read in a vacation time was the meditation book for almost like for kids.
Okay, so then Yulia has a couple of recommendations that were cited back in the episode, How to Learn on Vacation. Please get back and get this useful and extremely relaxing advice taken from personal experience and working based on this idea of finding input that is understandable yet challenging.
So keep on trying. Try something new. Enjoy. Live and learn.
Live and learn. Curious about what we discuss next? Please subscribe to Live and Learn podcast and join our community on social networks. Live and learn.